It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Happy hump day, everybody. We're helping you get over it. We appreciate you greatly. Joining us right now is the head of media. So appreciative of Mary and Cole hanging on till the top of the hour. We have a texter, Mary, that wants to know, are the Triumph televised in Greenville? I know one or more games have been, Mary, and where do we stand on that?
Yeah, so we have the broadcast is going to be televised locally on the CW62. It's going to be on YouTube for our international viewers, and then it's going to be televised nationally on ESPN Plus and ESPN Deportes, which that's a huge deal.
That is a massive deal. CW62. Yeah. I got to find where that is on my local cable, but it's great that that's being televised. What do you attribute, Marion, to the way that this area has really taken to the Triumph early? I think it's been really, really kind of cool to witness how going to a Triumph game has become kind of an event, right? It's not just attending a game, it's become an event. I think you guys all get a ton of credit for that. And I just think it's really cool how this area is taken to the Triumph.
No, I agree, and I would attribute it definitely to our leadership group from the Irwins, Joe and Doug specifically, and their vision for the club and the mission. They want to unite this community, and what better way to do it than the world sport, you know, which is soccer. And so I feel like that has been felt at every level and behind every move that we've made, especially this year. And I think people in the upstate can see that, and I think they appreciate it, and that's why we've had so much excitement and, you know, good energy surrounding us, really.
Marion Cole, the head of media for the Greenville Triumph, joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. How does a team join a league, and then in year one they make the final game, and then in year two they're hosting the final game? We've seen that with the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. it's just largely, Marion, unheard of. So how do you grow that thing from the ground floor to true contender largely overnight?
I think personally that just speaks to John. Our head coach and sporting director, John Harkes, obviously has quite the resume. We'll just say that with his history and, you know, soccer overseas, soccer here in the MLS, and he has built quality relationships, and that's exactly how he treats all of his players. You know, it's a relationship first. It truly is a family first attitude with him, and that makes players want to play for him. He's definitely a coach that makes players want to play for him. You know, he's gonna get in your grill.
I want to play for him. I want to play for him, and I've only had him on the show
too.
A couple times. Yeah, let's go.
You should see him. You should see him at practice. I'm just like, man, let me get back out there. All right, but I tell you what, like he knows how to get people bought into what he believes and what he sees. And I think the fact that we have had the players that we've had already in 2 years come through here, the quality of players speaks directly to him.
Dallas J, goalkeeper of the year among them. Union Omaha, responsible for the only home defeat for the Greenville Triumph this year. Strategically, Marion, what do you need to do to get past them this time around?
You know, when we first played them, everyone was a little upset because it didn't seem like it was, you know, our best performance. They went back and watched film, and they did a lot of really good things, so I think they maybe just need to do them a little bit sooner. Union Omaha in that game scored two of the most incredible goals that I have seen all season, and there was nothing to be done about the first one. The second one could have been done with a little more pressure through the midfield, so I think it's just getting back to basics for this team and doing the things that got them here. That's pressure through the midfield. That's high energy. That's being solid through defense, having good core defensive shape, and just trusting what they can do in the final third.
And that's what Greenville hopes to do on Friday night, folks. The game is at 8 p.m. It's in Greenville, South Carolina. There is a city championship on the line, a league championship on the line. Where can people go right now to make sure they can be a part of this on Friday night, Marion?
You can go to greenvilletriumph.com. We have a list of tabs that will have all the details you need to know to get your free ticket. That's all that is left is free tickets, and you have to put a $50 non-refundable deposit on 2021 season tickets. But I promise you it's worth it. All of that information and what to expect at the stadium per protocols, COVID regulations, things like that can be found at our website, greenvilletriumphs.com.
You know, what would you say, Marion, like, how does this work moving forward? The future of this team, the future of this team in this city, the future of USL League One with the Greenville Triumph dominating it. You know, how does the future look for you when you factor in all of that?
I think it's really exciting. You know, this was a year, it was supposed to be a pretty big expansion year for League One, obviously with everything else, COVID. And so a lot of that was put on halt, but the excitement behind League One in general foreshadows a really good future. And the fact, like you mentioned, the fact that Greenville is kind of that, hey, look at what they're doing. They're doing it right. The fact that we're that team for the league, I think makes our future honestly wildly unpredictable in the best way.
What do you mean by that?
You know, I think that the amount of talent that can come through a team like Greenville is really exciting. You know, you look at, think about it like minor league baseball. You know, you get so much excitement of people that come through the minor league systems, these first round draft picks, XYZ, and you're like, I'm going to get to watch, you know, a big leaguer in his young days. That excites communities. I think Greenville can be a spot for that. I also think that hopefully, you know, stadium stuff is in the works. And again, COVID, and, you know, I'm not going to say too much, honestly, because I don't know too much. But I think that this can end up being being the community's home and being a heart for the community that is consistently good on the field and does consistently good things off the field.
Marion, when an ownership group looks at a soccer team, they want to determine the financial viability. They want to determine if the community can support a team. And you do your research and you make an educated guess, but in the end, it's still a guess. You still need the community to support the team. What have you gleaned about this area and whether this area is capable of supporting long-term a team like the Triumph? Can Greenville, can the upstate be, you know, an example for a league like USL League One? Can they be a shining example from what you've seen?
Yeah, and, you know, you bring up a really good point. You know, this year has been tough. There's no question about it from a financial perspective. And I think we saw there were question marks. And, you know, I think we saw when we did the Match to Triumph with the United Way, and we raised over $40,000, largely due to normal people, normal citizens living in the upstate that wanted to help their community. I think for us, that was kind of like, you know what? People are bought into what we're doing. They believe us. They know that we want to do something more than just play soccer here. And so I think not only, you know, is financial viability always a question when you're starting a new club, but soccer in the South really is always a question. You know, you're competing with baseball, you're competing with football, you're playing at the same times. And to see that, you know, we have a Saturday night game when Clemson's at home and we still have our normal amount of attendance, those are the little things that speak to, yes, absolutely, the upstate can support a team like this. And I think it can only get better.
Marion Cole, ladies and gentlemen, is the head of media for the Greenville Triumph. They play for a region championship, ladies and gentlemen, a league championship. But I say region championship because the Greenville Triumph are the soccer team for the upstate. They take on Union Omaha, the only team that has beaten Greenville at home this year. Boy, you talk about the drama, you talk about the excitement. It's going to be in Greenville, South Carolina, Friday night, 8 p.m., get your tickets right now, folks. It is going to be an unbelievable event. Marion Cole, you're one of my favorite people, and I regret that we have spoken so infrequently in this crazy year. I'm so proud of you. I'm excited about what you've helped to build, and we're happy to be a part of it. Congratulations, and good luck on Friday night.
Thank you, Mark. And I definitely agree with you. I hate how little we've gotten to speak, but I hope you are well. You're one of my favorite people as well. And like I said, there's a credential waiting for you should you decide to come on Friday. We hope to see you, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Marion Cole. I appreciate it. Marion Cole, head of media for the Greenville Triumph, joining us as they play in the USL League One Championship on Friday night at 8 p.m. Really excited about that, man. Just super excited for the city, for the upstate, for the region to have a chance to play for a championship and to host a championship. All right, I want to get to some other sound here now on Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, the bomb dropped the other day. Let's reset this here, Lonzo, with Trevor Lawrence, kind of leaving the door open to returning to Clemson for his senior season.
Have you thought at all about, is there anything that might make you reconsider? You've been very upfront about this being your final season here. I'm just curious if there's anything that would make you reconsider coming back to Clemson for another year.
I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that. But honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether – you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. So just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out. So I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
Doors open. Lonzo, you agree with that, right? Doors open. Doors open to returning.
Door is open, but it's going to close.
Paul Feinbaum, of course, like Lonzo, has an opinion on this. He's got an opinion about everything. Let's hear what Paul has to say.
Trevor, we all love you. We think you're great. But put a sock in it already, okay? Did Rupert Murdoch put you on the payroll at the New York Post so you can sell newspapers? This is not happening. Trevor is bored. He's bored with the ACC. He's bored with winning by 8 or 9 touchdowns a game. So he's having some fun. I mean, after all, he's in Clemson, South Carolina. What else is he supposed to do for entertainment?
David Pollack of ESPN opines
on
this.
Wait. You're just going to let that go. You're just going to let that go.
What do you have to say about it?
You're not going
to
say, I thought it was hilarious.
Of course it's hilarious, Lonzo. Of course it's hilarious. But, you know, I don't know. I happen to be of the belief that there is a chance that he comes back.
I just want to really point something out. Watching the answering of the question, if I were to close my eyes, I could see Dabo up there. Like he was trained, here's how you do this, because his mannerisms, his delivery, everything was exactly.
But he's already said he's going pro. 6 weeks ago, he said he was going pro, and something changed, Lonzo. Was it Roddy White, former Falcons receiver, advising him not to go to the Jets? What changed?
I think Feinbaum's right. I think he's just messing with people, and everybody's just going and laughing his butt off about it.
Come on.
So you're saying there's no chance that he's doing that.
I don't think Trevor would mess with people, Lonzo. That's not nice to do to the folks around here.
Dabo's like, hey, go out and do this.
Come on, man.
That's what I think of.
Come on. David Pollack, though, subscribes to this. He sure does.
He said it to start the season that this will be his last season. So I think now when you and they'll know, Key will know this and Jay will know this. Like when you get in the grind, you don't want to answer questions anymore about this crap. Like, you want it to go away, and is this the last time you're going to do this? What about the Jets? What about this crap? Like, you just want it to go away, and you don't want to talk about it. So I think it's one of those situations. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be gone after the season. He's already kind of made that known before the season starts. But when you get in the grind, your feelings change. You get grumpy. A lot of things change, and you just get tired to answer questions.
Trevor's not grumpy, David. What is he grumpy about? Give me a break. Michael Wilbon seems to be taking a page out of my book here.
It's a little hard to see that because he's already won one national championship. He's already gotten to the final game, and he could do that again this year. And you do that three times, even if you only win one, it's like, are you really going to go back? But this seems to be tied. The conversation, at least what I've read, is tied to not wanting to go and play for the Jets, who seem so utterly dysfunctional. Right. As dysfunctional as the Knicks, just to pick another team that's dysfunctional that people don't want to go to. We've seen this before. John Elway didn't want to go to the Colts. He forced his way out of that. Eli Manning didn't want to go to the Chargers. Forced his way out. We've seen it in other sports. Danny Ferry didn't become a great pro by any chance, but didn't want to go in that position. So we've seen guys use their leverage.
Danny Ferry had a chance to tell somebody he doesn't want to play for them. That's hilarious, man. How about Joey Galloway, Ohio State's own, making a bold and declarative statement here?
There is no way he's coming back to Clemson. Now, even if he decided, look, the Jets have the first pick, I don't want to go play in New York, I would guess that he would then sit out as opposed to playing again and risking getting hurt. He's an athletic quarterback that likes to run the football, sometimes take some hits that he doesn't really have to take. So we see year after year players do this same thing. At this time last year, I believe Chase Young was a guy that was like, hey, you know what? I might come back. And then the fans jump on board and they're like, hey, we got a shot of him actually coming. It's not going to happen. Trevor Lawrence will not return to Clemson next season, no matter who has the first pick.
So says Joey Galloway. By the way, Lonzo, tip of the cap to you. The cut sheet today, all this sound on the most important topic is outstanding. So thank you very much on behalf of our audience for this, all this sound from all of these college football dignitaries on Trevor Lawrence's mindset right now. We will continue on that topic with what better guest than the head of media podcasts for the New York Post, ladies and gentlemen, out of New York City. He's going to give us the Jets' perspective on this Trevor Lawrence saga, and he'll do that next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so one of the cool things about this gig, man, is that you get to connect with people all over the country. And so you know people that you don't really know. This is a great dude. I think he spent a good amount of time with me on the phone when I was, like, really not liking life at a certain time of my career in Houston. Like, things were just not bouncing my direction. And he spent a lot of time with me on the phone and one afternoon, and I'm just like, man, what a great dude. It's been awesome to see what's going on in his career. He is now in charge of all sports podcasts for the New York Post in New York City. So my man is doing very, very well for himself. At Jake Brown Radio is where you can follow him on Twitter. Jake Brown joins us right now on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. What's going on, bud? How are you?
Mark, thank you for the kind words, man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. So it sounds like I'm doing a little bit better than the Jets right now because the Jets all these reporters are down here, Jake, at Clemson's press conferences, and they're zooming in and so on and so forth. And Dabo seems to be amused by this whole thing, and they're telling him that there's nothing else for them to do where they are. They're like, this is what everybody wants to hear or talk about, etc. And just yesterday, and Lonzo, if we have this clip from Trevor Lawrence here, I'd like to play it for Jake, just so we can kind of use this as the basis. It sure sounds, Jake, right here in this clip from Trevor Lawrence, that he's leaving the door open to return, something he wasn't doing 6 weeks ago. Here's Trevor.
Have you thought at all about, is there anything that might make you reconsider? You've been very upfront about this being your final season here. I'm just curious if there's anything that would make you reconsider coming back to Clemson for another year.
I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that, but honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. So just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out. So I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
So what was 6 weeks ago, this is my last year at Clemson. Now we're hearing the words, I'm not sure. We'll see how it all unfolds, Jake. Lonzo's my producer here. He doesn't believe that has anything to do with the Jets having the first overall pick. I think he's nuts. I think it has everything to do with the Jets having the best chance, 59% as of this interview, to land the first pick. Jake, what say you?
Listen, I mean, the easy move is to agree with you and say, you know, the Jets are dysfunction, they're laughing stock, and yeah, he wouldn't want to play here. But I do think in today's day and age, I don't think it's a big deal. I know everyone's going to run with that, and that's the big story. But with the pandemic and everything going on, I mean, we don't even know what we're having for dinner, what we're doing tomorrow. So let alone, you know, 6 months, 7 months down the road, I can't blame him for leaving all options open and maybe even staying one more year. And even if he doesn't go to the Jets, he's going to go to a bad team nonetheless. I know the Jets, it's dysfunction land, but a lot of that is surrounding a head coach in Adam Gase, who you would expect is gone by the time by the time the season's over. So I don't look too much into it being a Jets thing. I look it more into, you know, let's see what life holds in 6 months. You never know, honestly.
So what is it about the Jets that just has this, that brings with it this reputation of total dysfunction, Jake?
There's no real culture here. This team, you know, they've won one Super Bowl in 1969. Since then, they have not been to one Super Bowl. The entire franchise has never been to a Super Bowl. I mean, that is amazing. In New York City, and it's clearly nothing to do with money. The team has had money. They're in the top market, and they haven't been able to make a Super Bowl, let alone win one since then. I mean, it's been 50 years, and winning, you know, establishes a culture. Look at the Steelers, the Ravens, the Patriots. Those teams win, and they win, and they win. And at least they make the playoffs all the time. The Jets do not. Making the playoffs has become a big deal, and it's been a revolving door of head coaches. And now, you know, you brought in a guy who wasn't totally respected by everyone coming in Adam Gase, who came off, you know, he made one playoff appearance with the Dolphins and then did nothing else. Ryan Tannehill leaves and looks like a Hall of Famer in Tennessee. I don't think the head coach decisions have been great. You had a couple of good coaches that, you know, their time came and went, and guys like Herm Edwards and Rex Ryan, and I can't really say that about Todd Bowles because I think he's been better as a defensive coordinator, but guys are coming in and out and in and out and in and out. There hasn't been one right coach to establish this winning culture and the CEO-like coach. And you can argue maybe they're not out there, but I think it starts with that. It's decisions at the head coaching realm, and it starts from up top with ownership. The GM debacle, firing McCagnan after the draft instead of before, made zero sense. So you're hoping Joe Douglas here, you know, has a lot of respect around the league, could establish some kind of culture and bring in a head coach that he wants, that he handpicks, and uses these draft picks and this capital and the assets and the money they have to try and right the ship. That's the hope starting this offseason after this.
I tell you, I disagree. I think what's changed is the Jets have the first pick, and I think they're the most dysfunctional team in the NFL. And, yeah, there's some bad teams, Jake, but I'll share with you an exercise I do. I call it the championship GPA, all right? And you give, just like you would A, B, C, D, F in grade school, you give a four-point scale, 3 for a B, 2 for a C, 1 for a D, 0 for an F. And I do this for the owner, the general manager, the coach, and the quarterback, okay? Owner, F. General manager, Douglas is highly regarded. I'll say B, okay? Coach, F. Quarterback, I feel like it's really unfair to evaluate Sam Darnold, so I'm going to say C-. Average those all together. I got a C- is a 1.8. I got a 3.0, and I got two zeros. The championship GPA of the Jets is a 1.2. And you want to know why Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to go there?
Listen, I think the Jets are – it's a different team moving forward with Joe Douglas. He only had one draft. A lot of these guys have been hurt, haven't really been able to see them. We finally saw Denzel Mims. We're seeing P. Ryan play more now. I think, you know, the Idzik and McCagnan error has really hurt them. And I think having a real head coach will change the mind of Trevor Lawrence. I think if Eric Bieniemy comes in here, him and Lawrence could be great. And I know you what you're saying about Darnold, but listen, it's been 3 years. I know the talent's not around it, but you know, good quarterbacks make players around them better. They make average receivers great. And I think having different coaches has hurt Darnold. Having Gase, this so-called brilliant offensive mind, be nowhere near brilliant has hurt him. But, you know, he's also made a lot of rookie mistakes in his third year. He makes throws. You saw it against the Bills to end the first half Sunday. He makes throws that rookies make, not third-year quarterbacks. He's had injuries. He hasn't been too durable. So I'm a little bit tired of the excuse-making for Darnold. Maybe he wins elsewhere, but the Jets can't think to themselves, if Lawrence does indeed come to them, oh, he might be a champion somewhere else. He might be, but that's because he has a team around him. He's never going to be this Hall of Fame-esque quarterback. He's just not. He's going to be a middle-of-the-road QB who has a chance to win with the right pieces around him. So, I think Lawrence, either way, he's going to go to a bad team. But look at the other teams available. Even if the Jets didn't get the first pick, the Giants, Mark, they have Daniel Jones. Jacksonville, are they in much better shape than the Jets? They're not very good, and you know, maybe they do believe in Gardner Minshew. Who knows? Atlanta, they have Matt Ryan. Are they going to give up on Matt Ryan? Miami, they have Tua T. Minnesota, maybe, but you know, they extend Kirk a few more years. So I'm not sold on there being a lot of places elsewhere where he has the chance to be an immediate starter and make an impact than if he came to the Jets.
So let's talk about the two teams that you cover up there. You think firmly that they move on from Sam Darnold. Would the Giants move on from Daniel Jones?
No, I think the Giants.
Wow, really?
Daniel Jones.
Really? They would. Yeah, so if they land the number one pick, they're going to trade the pick?
If they land the number, well, that's a different question. If they land the number one pick, it's hard. They might trade down a few spots. Honestly, I don't think they've given up on Daniel Jones, and they're in a different spot because it's 3 years in. Daniel Jones has just finished his first, you know, full 16 games. Remember, he didn't start off last year, and he's also, my God, if you look at the stats on his offensive line, it has been a train wreck. What Daniel Jones has been protected by, he is getting rushed like no other quarterback in the league. So while I'm not going goo-goo gaga over Daniel Jones, I don't know. I think that is a tougher question. I think the Giants could trade down if they end up in that position because they don't want a quarterback battle between a guy who's a year and a half into his career versus Lawrence. I don't think that would be fair to him. So, yeah, I think they might trade down.
I can't believe I just heard you say that. They would keep Daniel Jones as opposed – you know, aren't you in danger then of doing the not drafting Michael Jordan because you had Clyde Drexler?
Listen, I think Lawrence is probably better, but I don't think the Giants are giving up on Jones just yet. I mean, it's way too early to say that, and he has shown sign, and he's been great on his feet as well. Darnold hasn't been the runner that Daniel Jones has been in an RPO type of offense. That he showed you strides that if you put a protection up front, it always starts up front, that he could be a pretty good quarterback in the league. So if he could cut down those fumbles and the turnovers, that's the key. But I think Daniel Jones has shown more signs early on at times than Sam Darnold has 3 years in.
All right, let's do a little role play. Normally I only like to role play, Jake, in different company, but let's role play you and I here today. I will be Trevor Lawrence, and I'm going to ask you a question about New York, okay? Jake, I appreciate your time today. I've always had the impression of the Northeast as five adjectives: cold, gray, dirty, crowded, and rude. And I don't think I want to live up there. Why don't I get to choose where I live? And why am I wrong?
Because New York's the greatest city in the world. There's, you know, non-pandemic times, there's nowhere else where you can go to a Broadway show one night, then go to a comedy show right after, then you can hit the club right after that. I mean, for a young guy like Trevor Lawrence, he's going to love it here. And you could say, yeah, it's cold sometimes. Yeah, you know, it might be a little dirty, but there is always something to do. And you can't say that for Clemson, South Carolina. I'm sorry. You can't say you can do the things there that you can do in New York. There's not even a professional sports team there in South Carolina. So I think it's a much different world up here. And if you like action and you like eventful and things to do, there's no place better. So all the things you're saying aren't wrong. And by the way, we also have the best food in the country. So New York pizza is better than Chicago pizza. It's the best pizza in the world. I mean, I'm in Astoria, Queens, which is the capital of just incredible food. So if you want to eat good, if you want to party good, if you want to live an exciting lifestyle, this is the place to be.
All right. A pizza that I have to try the next time I'm up there.
Amore Pizza. It's in College Point. It's the exit after Citi Field where the Mets play. It's my favorite pizza. I've been going there. You know, I came out the womb, and I think I ate a slice of cheese pizza from Amore's over baby food. So
A-M-O-R-E?
Correct. Amore, yep. A-M-O-R-E apostrophe S. Amore's, yeah.
What makes it the best?
Thin slice, just iconic cheese, just a big slice, affordable. I think it's like $2.50, maybe $3. I don't know.
Wow.
They can charge whatever, and I'm buying it. It is hot. It's beautiful. Give it some time. I know they did a pizza review on it, and they ate it too hot, and that affects the rating. Give it a couple minutes to cool down, but fresh out the oven. If you get a fresh pie, Amore's is the best.
He's Jake Brown, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow him at Jake Brown Radio on Twitter, and he is the executive producer of the New York Post's podcasts, proudly from Queens. Jake, appreciate it, pal. Thank you so much for the time. Always appreciate it, and enjoy the debate with you, my man.
All right, Mark. Thanks for having me, man. Take care.
You got it. Take care. Jake Brown from the Big Apple, New York City, on the Jets and Trevor Lawrence. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. And it is time to do that little ditty that we do called Either Or. A couple of options on life and sports. Either Or starts right now. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
Okay, so United States billionaire Bill Gross has been accused of torturing his neighbor by blasting this. So why is he doing this? Well, he's doing this over and over again because his neighbor, who is CEO Mark Tofig, accused Gross of blocking.
Oh, I no longer like it. It's against a mark. I don't like it.
Yeah, but it's Mark with a K, so you're good. Who accused Gross of blocking his view by putting a lighted glass art installation along their property line. So after a judge ruled in Tofig's favor, Gross retaliated by cranking up the theme from Gilligan's Island over and over again. So, is this onsides or is it offsides?
I'd rather have the glass, Lonzo. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather have the glass along the country property line than hearing that all day long?
Well, I was a big fan of Gilligan back in the day. So, and as someone who hears the same commercials over and over again, after a while, I don't hear it. So,
did you hear about the fans in New York? One was a Jets fan. The other guy next to him painted his whole house Bills colors. Like, he literally painted his whole house Bills colors. Neighborhood war, man. Lonzo, I tend to get a kick out of this stuff, so I'm going to say onsides.
Yeah, I think it's onsides, too. You know, he lost the battle, but did he lose the war? I'm not so sure he did.
Yeah, I'm not so sure he lost the war. I think he's winning the war. I got a very similar one, actually, for you. There's a house. Nick Kale does our Lock of the Week segment on Fridays at 4:40. Gator Neal could no longer do them, so Nick Kale's doing them now. There's a house in his neighborhood, and he posted a picture of this last night. I mean, this thing is decked to the nines in Christmas lights. And Nick writes, "It's October 27th. Is this really necessary? Lighting up the entire neighborhood with Christmas lights, Lonzo, on October 27th. It is about the fourth or fifth tweet down if you'd like to see it in my Twitter feed at Mark Ryan on Air, M-A-R-C Ryan on Air. Onsides or offsides, Lonzo?
Oh, this is completely offsides. We are having a discussion at my house over this because my daughter wants to put up the Christmas tree now. It's like, no. We don't do that till the day after Thanksgiving.
So you're saying it's offsides?
It's offsides for sure. It's come on. It's not Halloween yet. It's not
the
Thanksgiving.
The hell are you to tell me what I can do with my lawn?
Well,
it's my lawn. Everybody's had a rough year, man. Make everybody smile with some lights. brighten their day.
Does it make
literally.
Everybody smile, though?
Brighten their day, literally.
I'm okay with the day after Thanksgiving. Brighten
man,
the sky.
I'm gonna beam some lights right in your bedroom after this, man. It's absolutely on sides.
Like
what's wrong with you?
Find my house.
True that.
And if you do, you might want to bring some help along with you in case you get caught in the woods somewhere.
It's probably. Scary. No, it's not offsides, Lonzo. It's their home. It's their property. You know, it's been a rough year. Let them brighten the days of everybody. Come on.
All right. So speaking of holidays, there's one coming up Saturday. It's called Halloween. It's not Christmas yet. Who was the best horror slasher villain? Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, or Freddy Krueger?
Dude, it's Freddy. It's not even close. It's Freddy. All right. We had Freddy Krueger's, and we had, was Freddy Krueger Friday the 13th, or was
no,
that Jason?
No, that's Jason.
Jason, there was a Nintendo game called Friday the 13th that was great. Did you ever play that game, Lonzo? Friday the 13th Nintendo game with Jason?
I did not, but there's a more recent one where you can actually play as Jason or as one of the victims.
I'm telling you, the old school Nintendo game.
I think it's on PlayStation.
Oh, the old school Nintendo game, Friday the 13th, Jason, is fantastic, man. Absolutely, positively fantastic. So anyway, I go with Freddy Krueger.
Well, I'm going with Jason Voorhees. I just happen to have a signed machete on my wall, the proof that I believe that he is the number one.
And finally, here we go. Who had a more successful season, Lonzo, given everything? MLB or NBA, more successful?
Well,
don't do what I think you're going to do and pick a homer pick here.
Well,
don't do it.
When you say successful, by what? I mean, how do you mean successful? The ratings-wise?
By a broad definition of success. Who executed the mission?
See, I'm going to go with the NBA because of zero COVID cases. Zero. What's the big story right now? The World Series is not the big story. The story
is... Well, it's because one player was an idiot.
Right. That's my point. The story
Justin
is not...
Justin Turner was an idiot.
The
Justin
story
Turner.
Is not the game. The story
Justin
is that
Turner.
He had COVID.
Yeah,
the NBA, the NBA pulled off the bubble, zero cases.
Yeah, but the NBA lost all momentum leading up to the playoffs and the finals, and we weren't watching it anymore. MLB, I thought, did a real nice job with the marquee that they were given here. And in terms of who did it more successfully, I'd like to ask you guys that question. I think MLB was more successful than the NBA in pulling, not in pulling it off, but in overall the success of the mission. People were into it. And finally, Lonzo, what do you got?
Sorry, I didn't know we were going to get my last one. Okay, according to a recent poll, these are the top NFL fans who complained the most. Number 5, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 4, the Chicago Bears. Number 3, the Buffalo Bills. Number 2, the New England Patriots. And the number 1 complainers in all the NFL, according to this poll.
Wait, let me guess.
Okay.
Number 1 complainers in the National Football League. Falcons fans.
Nope, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Out of this list.
America's team.
Out of this
come
list.
On, come on.
Which team do you think complains the most? Which one have you heard complain?
Patriots fans.
Same here, Patriots fans.
Insufferable, absolutely insufferable. Good stuff, Lonzo. That is either or for the day. We'll put a bow on this very special edition of Offsides with Mark Ryan right after this here on ESPN Upstate. You know, look, our job is to cover all sports, and I get that and I understand that, but I'll be honest with you, I'm just kind of glad that the other sports are out of the way right now. Not that I didn't enjoy them. The World Series did a great job. NBA did a fantastic job. I'm just thrilled that we now just get to hunker down and focus on the beauty that is football. From now through early February, football is yours. Football is mine. 100 days of football, ladies and gentlemen. Let's strap in, let's buckle in, and let us enjoy all of this thoroughly. You know, look, we've got some really intriguing matchups coming up in the National Football League this weekend. Tomorrow night, you can hear the Falcons and the Panthers right here on ESPN Upstate. I don't know why, Lonzo, but I'm nervous about this game for the Panthers. The Falcons have been playing better, much better than a 1-6 team would. And the Panthers, I wouldn't say, are playing their best football of the year right now, although really happy to see that CMC, Christian McCaffrey, owner of a beautiful girlfriend and a new $8 million crib in Charlotte, is practicing again.
I don't have time to throw the flag on you, but you said 1-6 time.
Well, that's what I meant. It's what.
Okay, because I.
Yeah. Where is your brain? Where is your brain? Where is your brain, Mark Ryan? Where is your brain? I revealed a little bit too much, Lonzo. Revealed a little bit too much. Patriots and Bills, is this the must-win game for Cam Newton and the Patriots? It's a tough at Buffalo on Sunday. A tough outing to have a must-win game coming up this weekend. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a lot of NFL options here at ESPN Upstate. You have a lot of sports to listen to coming up on the show. We've got the best of the NFL. We've got the best of college football all right here on our station. And we appreciate you guys so much. Tomorrow, invite you to come out, say hello in person. We're going to be at 10903 Anderson Road in Powdersville, at the Ingles in Powdersville. Would love to have the chance to meet you. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, right here on ESPN Upstate.